In the tradition of Spalding Gray, Eric Bogosian, and David Cale, Frank Maia emerged from New York's downtown performance scene. He dispenses his form of humor, observations and monologues about his dysfunctional suburban family, current events, and gay politics, mostly on small stages and now on cable television. He'll appear this weekend on Ha! Comedy Network's The Talent Pool. Maia first went on stage not as a comic, but as a rock singer. During intervals between songs, he started doing short monologues he called rants. They garnered mixed reactions.
Well, it depends on where I was. I was one time at the Bottom Line, which is a fairly conservative club where people come in, they expect rock and roll. And we had the audience, we were opening for the Waitresses. Remember that group? And we really had the audience going good. And then I just kind of stopped the music. I took out some paper. At this time, I didn't memorize anything. I just used to read it. And all these kind of guys from New Jersey just saw me. I said, I'm going to read some poems. I used to call them poems or rants or whatever. And they were funny, but they didn't know that. And they just started yelling out, why don't you just kill yourself? We don't want to hear poetry. And they were screaming and yelling. And I always persisted. That never stopped me. And usually they started liking them. And almost always they started liking them. By the time I finished with the rant section of the show, they were screaming and laughing. You know, it made me realize that I had that I liked to make people laugh. It was fun to make them dance, but it was more fun to make them laugh.
One review of that time described your humor as being gay. And the review, I understand, you kept in your scrapbook, you scratched the word gay out.
Yeah, actually, not a scrapbook. I always tell that interview it wasn't a scrapbook. But in my press kit, yeah, I edited that review. I couldn't believe it. I think I was the first person ever to be outed. I really do. I think I have that distinction in the Village Voice. Probably not. But anyway, I remember it was also around 83... And I can't remember who did it actually in The Voice. He just came right out and said, he was a gay writer himself, and said, I wish his songs were more openly gay romantic. And I scratched out gay and just made it romantic. So there was a time, even though I constantly hinted about being gay, you know, in my act, constantly in the songs even, there was always things built in there that a lot of people got, a lot of people didn't get, yet I was very close-mouthed about it. And I was horrified by that review.
When did you decide, and how did you decide to become openly gay as a comic performer?
I really only decided to do it this past fall, in September. Like I said, it was always in the work. It was always in the comedy. There was lots of hints about it, and gay audience members would pick up on those hints and get a kick out of it. But a lot of straight people didn't. And I was preparing for a show that I was hoping to take off Broadway. I had a manager who was working with me, and it was August. We were doing a lot of tryouts in little clubs. And one night I got up. I had been watching a lot of HBO specials. I was sick in bed. I had the flu. That's my big story. I had the flu for like 3 weeks, summer flu, very sick, watching HBO specials, right? And watching people that I like Roseanne Barr and other people who are, they're up there for an hour talking about every part of their life, you know, talking about their husbands, their kids, their love life growing up in high school, love in high school. And I'm thinking, I never talk about this stuff because I'm not allowed to, or I feel like I'm not allowed to. So one night in the middle of the night, 3 a.m, I got out of bed and I thought, that's it. I'm not going to put up with this crap anymore. I went into the kitchen. I wrote the entire, what I call the gay routine in my show. It's called The Fury. Almost word for the way it is now, the way we did it in the TV special. And I started doing it that week.
Do you fear being booked as a novelty act rather than as a gay act or a comic act?
Well, that could happen, I suppose. That'll be an interesting part of my life. The novelty career act.
Yeah.
It happens so easily, it's true. I think that the show would never allow that. My material wouldn't allow that to happen because really, I think my whole show is about, it's about growing up in suburbia. It's straight people can relate to it, gay people can relate to it. Even the gay material in my show, I think a lot of people can relate to it because it's about the human condition in general. I talk about my relationship and so forth. So, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the material is not silly, and I think it's not novelty-ish.
Oh, no, it's a being gay. The other fun thing is telling your parents. Oh, yeah. I mean, for my generation, you know, a lot of people just, like, it really... Now, these days, I know kids tell their parents, like, when they're 12 years old. You know, like, I'm gay, that's it. They walk out of the house, they get a job. I didn't tell my parents until last year, okay, on the phone. I was very nervous. I wasn't really worried about my mother, but my father is really serious Catholic, you know, and Latin, too. I think he's gay too. And I said to him, I said, Dad, look, I'm gay, that's it, I don't want to talk about it anymore. And there was this big silence, right? And the first question he asked me, I swear to you, he goes, let me ask you a question. Is Mayor Koch gay? I think we had like a list or something, right? Oh yeah, I was with him last night at Uncle Charlie's, you know, we were dancing together. You should see Ed with with that tambourine. I'll ask him tonight. And the second thing he says to me, he says, listen, your mother and I will pay any amount of money to get you to a doctor, to get you a cure. I said, Dad, you know there's no cure except fame.
There are some shoes that you wear that are sort of very strange looking black shoes. And I wonder if this is a part of your costume and if they're special shoes for you on the stage.
That's interesting. They're not that strange, but I know they look strange on television. No, they're the first real expensive shoes I bought for myself in my life. They actually look like Oxfords. They're really kind of like nerdy looking black tie shoes. But I noticed on TV, they shine so much that they look kind of gigantic or something.
It was a curious look to them, and I just wondered if that was intentional.
It was intentional to be really hip.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, of course you were.
I've never been like really big on really dressing up for shows, you know. And coming from the downtown performance art scene where people have elaborate costumes, I mean, I just get up there in black jeans, you know. And so I bought these expensive shoes, you know, to try to make. And people liked them at the TV taping, but their reaction was kind of like yours. They said, what are those shoes? And I thought they just were complimenting them. I guess they look weird. Unintentional.
There are a number of comics who are gay but choose to keep their sexual orientation private, yeah. Not bring it into their act. They say it doesn't matter whether they're gay or not. But you clearly have chosen to take another tact.
Mm.
I wonder why.
Oh, I think it does matter. I think it matters a lot. Now, some people's material doesn't have anything to do with anything. Okay, they're doing jokes. It has nothing to do with anything. And those people are right in a way. I mean, in another day, I guess another era without AIDS, where gay people are dying and people are being quiet about it, too quiet about it sometimes, I think I would agree with some of those people. It has nothing to do with their job. You know, I used to have a therapist who told me that all the time, a gay therapist who told me that it's no one's business whether I'm gay. I believed that for a while. But I think today, it certainly has a lot to do with my work, okay, because I grew up, you know, most straight men growing up did not do productions of Cleopatra in their basement, I think. Okay. So for me, being gay connects to everything in me. It really does. And I think the other important thing that's, we can't, if everyone took that attitude that it's not important, then every gay person would be invisible again. And that would be terrible.
Is there some humor, some kinds of shtick that you avoid because it would take you into the world of camp more than contemporary commentary that you seem to do?
Yeah, I don't like camp stuff that much. I mean, I like drag queens and all that stuff. I mean, people doing, I always say I don't do Bette Davis imitations, although watching that TV show, when I read that letter from Bette Davis, I think I sound like her a little bit. I'm turning into Bette Davis.
Well, it sounds like maybe an homage.
Yeah, it's like real, that's all it is. I like that stuff. I think it's funny, but I don't feel like I have a stereotypical gay sensibility. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that sensibility, but I don't think it's the only sensibility. There's drag queens, there's guys who do camp humor and cabaret, and then there's other people who sing rock songs, who do comedy, who are actors. We're all different forms of... That's what gay men and women... That's why I protest a little bit when people think that maybe I do campy humor, you know, when they hear that I'm gay, the gay comic or something, you know, all this... There's nothing. I don't reinforce any stereotypes, I think, in my show. I hope.
Your heritage is what, Colombian Irish?
Yeah, my
Irish Catholic.
Irish Catholic.
You also include then Catholic humor.
Yeah.
I guess in the Pope and so forth.
Sure. How could you not? Most people like to laugh about this because I think it's kind of fun, loving, and warm.
Are you developing material specifically for gay audiences?
Yeah, I think I am. I wasn't planning on... When I did this gay routine, this like 10-minute thing, I just thought, I'm just doing this one thing. The rest of the stuff will just seep in. I'm not going to... That's it. I'm just telling the audience I'm gay. In the middle of the show, I tell them I'm gay, and we go on with the rest of the show. Now, I feel like that's a cop-out. I feel like I would like to do... I like the idea of what Richard Pryor did. I'm sorry, I just hit the microphone. I like the idea with what Richard Pryor did in his show. He talked a lot about the black experience that white people couldn't share, but they could listen in on. And I wouldn't mind doing that. But I don't have a big enough gay audience to do that with yet. I'm developing the material. You know, I mainly try it out at the gym But that's where I have my biggest gay audience right now. But I'm slowly getting a bigger gay audience, you know. I don't want to lose my straight audience either. I mean, I like to see all audiences together, but I wouldn't cop out and just do middle-of-the-road entertainment that only talk to straights or, you know, or say only talk to gays. Not that that would be middle of the road.
Well, Frank Maia, thank you very much for coming and being a guest with us on For Sure. Thanks.
Thank you.
Frank Maia appears on The Talent Pool Sunday night on Ha! Comedy Networks.